Paul wrote to Timothy, also known as 1 Timothy. I am beginning a new series this morning called Divine Direction. And as a pastor, probably one of the most common questions that I get is this one. How do I know God's will for my life? I came into church ministry here at Grace Fellowship Church at the latter part of 96 and came on full time in 97. And it didn't matter if I was doing youth ministry, if I was working with young adults that were getting ready to go off to college. Now as I'm working as the senior leader here since 2006, I hear this question. And over the time that I've heard this question, I don't know that even when I've asked it, I've gotten an answer that I feel like I'm walking away with the one thing that lets me know that I'm doing God's will. How many of you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? Anybody ever wondered that before? I think it's a common thing for us. How do I know that I am in the will of God? And what is God's will for my life? And I thank God for my dad. He was one who was not quick to make a irrational decision, but he was quick to decide things. He would sit down, he would pray about them, he would talk with my mom, he would then have a brief family meeting. We're talking about major things now. And I can remember the conversation that we had around the dinner table of the first time that I was old enough to be a part of the family meeting. I'm the youngest, and so it took me a while to get my meeting papers. And I finally got my meeting papers, and I was about to turn 14. And if you guys can remember turning 14, I had my friends, I had my school that I had grown up in. I had lived in Columbia, South Carolina. That was my home, although we had only lived there for about 7 years. But to me, that's where I moved there when I was seven. I was about to go into this place of being able to meet new people and see new things. And then all of a sudden I'm hit with what's going to happen? I'm moving from this place, everything that I knew as home. And that's the situation that we have to be able to understand, is that at some point there's a large decision that needs to be made. And that divine direction is something that comes only from a relationship with the Lord. My dad sat us down at the table and he said, "How on earth am I going to be able to tell you this without there being a huge family uprising?" Listen to this. I was 14. My brother was turning 17. He was going into his senior year, and he was, all that he knew was in the school district that we were in. That's all he knew. And we were about to go. Listen to this. We lived in Columbia. Columbia, just in case you didn't know, is the capital of South Carolina. A population of a bunch. And we were moving to upstate New York. When I say New York, I don't mean Manhattan. We were moving to upstate New York, the foothills of the Adirondack Mountains. If I told you how to get to where we lived, you would still get lost. We were moving to the woods, and we were moving just beyond civilization. And it was, you know, you find the last living person on earth and you take a left. And that's where we were. It was just desolate. And there was this tiny Bible school that my grandfather had started, and that's where we were going. And we were leaving some amazing things. My dad was a college professor at the University of South Carolina, go Gamecocks. And there he was teaching at the university level. I had no concept of money at the time, which most 13 and 14-year-olds don't have a concept of money at all. And there we were, getting ready to move, and I just thought everything was going to be the way that it always had been. And we were my dad was going from the income that he had to he was donating his time to my grandfather. So that was the end of the brand new shoes every other month. That was the end of eating out. I mean, when you live in the city, that's what you do. You hardly ever cook at home. My mom and my dad would have meals at home, but we ate out a lot. We ate at restaurants. Our kitchen was, you know, the commercial kitchen down the road. There was Western Sizzlin', that's where we would eat. So we know we have some people that are familiar with that. So anyway, going from that, you would look at everything on paper, and it was the wrong decision. We weren't talking less income, no income. We weren't talking smaller community, no community. There was nothing. And the school that I was leaving was the largest school in Columbia. It had four campuses. The name of the school was IRMO, and each campus was one of the letters, I-R-M-N-O. I was on Campus R. Campus R had 1,800 students on it, just the campus. That campus was 6th, 7th, and 8th grade with that many students. The school that I went to was a Christian private school on the Bible school campus. It had four floors. That's good. It was a four-story building. That was a house that they had kind of converted into the school. And I was going into a combined class of 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. Five of us. Five. And it didn't make any sense. So how do we know this divine direction that God is giving us? And my dad sitting at that dinner table, I can remember that conversation because everything within me was like, this is wrong. And then my brother, bless his heart, I mean, he knew that it was over. My brother was on the football team. My brother was a leader in our youth group. He had a girlfriend. I didn't even know what girlfriends were then, but he had one. And everything was about to change. And it all was prefaced with, Mom and I have been praying about this, and we know that God is moving us to Grandpa's Bible School. Now, I knew what that meant only because I had visited Grandpa's Bible School. And visiting Grandpa's Bible School was a lot of fun. Living at Grandpa's Bible School was a completely different story. And when you get to this place, when everything doesn't seem right, how do I know that I am making a decision that is in line with the will of God? So I wonder this morning if you would join with me. Have you found 1 Timothy? If you have, turn over to the second chapter. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy to let him know in his role as a leader in the church exactly how God can use him. But he's giving him some very basic instruction first. And so we're going to look at this together. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for all people. So in the instruction that Paul is sending out, first and foremost, everything needs to be covered in prayer. How? For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. I love this line. We're going to get back to this in just a moment. But if you want to even have a glimpse of peace in your life, pray for those around you. Pray for the leaders around you. Pray for the spiritual leaders, the community leaders, our representatives in our government. Pray for our leaders, because Scripture is clear. If you do that, that you will lead a peaceful and quiet. How many need some peace and quiet in their life? Have a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. just simply because the first thing that I'm doing is I'm praying for the people around me. Because then, look at what happens. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is God most concerned about? God is most concerned that all people be saved and they come to the knowledge of the truth. And guess what he has chosen as that vessel and as that message? You. To be praying for those around you and to be living a life that is dignified, not fake, not false. We're not talking about, well, now I guess that really reinforces I've got to put on my spiritual mask, my church mask. I can't be real. That's not at all what this is talking about. This is actually the opposite of that. That as we pray for others, as we begin to know the needs, as we begin to reach out, touch hearts, and change lives, we will see the needs that are around us, and we go beyond ourselves, and we lift up others, because as the word was saying, we will live a peaceful and quiet life. Does that mean that no problems will ever come? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that in that situation, in that trial, I will still have peace. I can remember some of the trials that I've been through and I didn't have peace. And then I can look back on some of the trials that I went through and I had peace. And I can tell you that this was the difference. There were times when trials were very strenuous and brought a lot of stress into my life. And it was monkeying with things that were going on at home and things that were going on at work and all kinds of things. I would get stressed out over them. But I find out that as I give my heart's desire to the Lord, then I am able to hear better what it is that he needs me to do. And this is the beginning of it right here, praying for all people. I wonder if one thing that you could take away from this morning is that if you want to have guidance and leadership from God, begin to pray for those around you. Because what will happen then is that God's desire, and what can desire be? Desire is the will of God. God's greatest desire, God's greatest thing is that all people would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I want to see that in these situations, the desires of God. Wouldn't it be something if somebody came up to you and said, what is it that God is doing in your life? And you'd say, you know what? What I'm doing is I am looking for and seeking the desires of God to come true in my life. It's like, what? Well, what about doing this? And what about doing that? What about this thing in your life? And it has nothing to do with those things, because what I'm looking for is divine direction from God. I'm looking for a divine direction. And so we have to look at the question a little bit closely, because how do I know God's will for my life can often be, how do I know, if I am not in perfect blessing, then I must not be in the will of God. And we begin to judge sometimes the things that are going on in our life. Well, I'm in this negative situation, so God must have lifted his hand from me. Or I have this thing, this struggle going on at work, or I have this difficulty that I'm facing. So that must be the sign that I am not doing what God wants me to do. Can I tell you this? Sometimes the answer to that is yes, you're right. A lot of times the answer to that is, do you have peace in your life, and are you praying for people around you, and are you seeking to do the desires of God? And what we do is we often elevate the first one. And we say, well, as soon as a problem comes, then that's God's way of showing me that I'm not doing what he wants me to do. Let me tell you this, that is extremely Old Testament. And I believe that the Old Testament and the New Testament hold hands and they walk together and they're friends. I don't think the Old Testament and the New Testament fight against each other. But in the Old Testament, when God wanted to get somebody's attention and they were doing the wrong thing, it wasn't pretty. And pestilence and disease. And just ask David what happened when he committed adultery. People suffered. An innocent child died because of the decision that he made. That was pre the cross. How many of you know that we are living right now in the days of grace and mercy? Same God, but he's showing what is the difference between having to work towards him through the law and receiving grace from him. So sometimes when a hardship comes, it could be God trying to get my attention. It's time for us to be able to see that there is a place at which we can come to an understanding that God is looking for us to have this relationship with him in such a way that I am hearing from him and following after his divine direction. Look at what it says again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of the things that we're commanded to do is rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God. What we tend to do when it comes to this place is we say, well, what is the direction that God wants me to do? What is the thing that God wants me to do? What is the circumstance that God wants me to go in? Well, I want to tell you this. Look at what it says. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want to tell you something that can easily be taken out of context and you can just run with. God wants you to be happy. I'm not saying if it feels good, do it. I'm saying God wants you to be happy. Often people are afraid of the will of God because they're saying, well, God's just going to make me do something that I don't want to do. And so I'm not going to pray for his will. They assume that what they're going to be, that if they can't stand missions, they're going to be, you know, God, use me however you want me to be used, and I'm just going to submit myself to you. Next thing you know, they find themselves living in a mud hut somewhere in the middle of Africa, and they're like, I knew it. I should have never asked God what he wanted me to do. He's going to bring misery into my life. God wants us to actually be happy. Not do it if it feels good. He wants us to be happy. And in that happiness and in that joy, I can rejoice always. When? Always. That was alluded to already earlier this morning. We need to be happy in all circumstances. Well, isn't that fake? No, it's not fake. It's actually quite enjoyable to be in a bad situation and still find joy. It brings great comfort. I've been in bad situations before and found joy. And it's been wonderful. It's been exciting. It's been something that has made it possible to survive. How do I know that I am in God's will? Well, am I able to rejoice in every situation? Have I been praying? Here it is again. Pray without ceasing. That's amazing. We're not supposed to stop. Does that mean pray 24/7 around the clock? For some people, it does. Some people do that. There's a church in the middle of our country that's what the International House of Prayer, that's what they do. Prayer never stops in that facility. We had one of their leaders here in our church just a few years ago. And Bob Sorge was here, and he was sharing about how God has used him and changed him. He immersed himself in the presence of prayer, and that changed somebody. Also, though, is that always in the forefront of my mind is, God, what is it that you want me to do today? How can I function and be called a follower of Christ? Who am I? How do I know that I am in the will of God? Because God is more concerned with who you are becoming than what you are doing. God is more concerned with who you are becoming than what you are doing. That is not a license to sin. The reality is that if I can be saying all of the right things, but my heart can be in the wrong place, and I can be blessing people, we've seen it happen. You could go through the list of national Christian leaders that were serving God on the outside, and their private and personal lives were in shambles. God was not pleased with that person. Because he is more concerned with who they are than what they were doing. They were blessed. They were doing lip service to him. They weren't following after him with the integrity. God is more concerned with who I am becoming than what I actually am doing. Why? Because if I am becoming more like him, then what I am doing will be a reflection of that. But instead, what we do is we're like, I need to do this thing so that I can do good in this world, and I want to be focused on the works. And all you have to do is read a couple of chapters in the book of James, and you find out that that is not the place that we receive blessing. It is not from our works. It is from our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what is most important. And if my relationship with Jesus Christ is in the right place, then the works that I do will be a reflection of that relationship. Does that make sense? God is more concerned with who I am becoming than what I am doing. In other words, he's more concerned with my final destination. Because the verse that shook me awake a number of years ago is that many will come saying, "Lord, Lord, but I do not know them. Many will prophesy in my name. Some will even heal. And he won't know them." You see, that is pointing to the works and saying the works isn't how it works. How it works is my relationship with the Lord first and foremost. Also, back at one more chapter in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification," or your holiness, "to be Christ-like is the primary goal." Our calling is always about Jesus and never about us. What God has called us to do is to serve him and to put him first in our lives, not to be focused on, well, what I need to do is I need to be the greatest at this particular thing. No, you don't. You need to serve the Lord and allow that relationship in you to be the seed of everything that you do. Because our ambitions can often drive us to do things that God hasn't given us the grace to do. And I'm an example of that, because I was more concerned about where I was going and what I was doing than who I was becoming. And in college, I had it all figured out. I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and I was going to have a lot of fun doing it. The college that I was going to didn't even, this was the amazing thing, it didn't even cover what I wanted to do. They didn't have the major that I wanted. So I got as close as I could to the major that I wanted. And I had it all planned. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I was excited about it. I had fun doing it. As a matter of fact, people come up and pat me on the back and tell me how good I was at what I wanted to do. That was good. Those were good times. But it became more and more evident as I decided to allow my relationship with the Lord grow that that desire that I had was actually going to be the end of me. I wouldn't have done well spiritually. Who knows? Other people might even know who I am right now. I had a lot of fun and I enjoyed it. It was exciting. But it wasn't what God had given me the grace to do. And my relationship with him was going to suffer. So halfway through my sophomore year, the school decided for me. You can't go to a school that you're going to for free and maintain a 2.0 average. They don't let you stay. And they helped me make my next decision. And the things that began to transpire from there, of going to Bible school and then even saying, you know what, I actually see God's hand in some of this and hearing from him. This desire that I had to serve him began to lead the choices and decisions that I have. Can I tell you this? I had no ambitions in my life ever to be a pastor of a church. Not even one time. Would somebody sit me down and say, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? I want to be the pastor of a church. Never entered my thoughts. Never did I ever want to sing in front of people. What do you want to do with your life? I want to sing in front of people and play a guitar. Nope, never said that. Never in my life did I say, I want to work with young people and be a youth pastor. Never did I say that. Never happened. But as I begin to just simply say, God, I want my relationship with you to be the guiding light that is leading me along this path. I just constantly want to know that what I'm doing is pleasing to you. I am honoring you in my relationship with you. And as I began to do that, doors that I wasn't even knocking on began to open. When I first came here in 96, I had no desire to be the youth pastor. The youth ministry had grown to an astounding 6 people. They were meeting in a circle in a couple of chairs, and half of the 6 didn't even want to be there. And the pastor came up to me and said, we need somebody to sit in with the youth. He didn't even say lead. Basically, he was asking me to come and watch the youth for an hour and a half, which was a lot of fun. And that's how I got introduced to it. And I went into that situation and I said, God, whatever, I have no idea. This was never on the radar. I'm just here. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. And he began to slowly bring a desire within me to constantly be in relationship with him. And as I was in relationship with him, I began to see some things open up. God, you're actually giving me the grace to do this. I enjoy this. I love this. I love getting to know the kids. I love working with their parents and seeing things happen. And we began, I just was talking this past weekend with someone who came to the youth ministry during a time when we were just, it was amazing what was going on. We were having fifth quarters after football games and kids were just piling in and we were serving them hot dogs and French fries and they were playing Xbox games, which was like a thing, I guess, back then. They would come in and then we would pull the plug on everything. We'd shut it down. We had it all on a kill switch. They'd, I had just worked and gotten my high score. And they would file in here. And we would sing and we would give them the word of God. And we did that for a year and a half and saw lives get changed. I still run into people today that came even one time to that fifth quarter. Never in my life did I say, I want to have 70 to 80 kids come in here and me be in charge of them. That was never a desire. My desire has always been this, and maybe you've heard me say this before, to see as many people as humanly possible come to the knowledge of Christ. That's like my life statement. That's my life goal. And I intentionally use that word human because guess what I am? I'm human. Contrary to popular belief. No, I am. I'm human. And so I want to be spent seeing people come to Christ. And when it's no longer possible for me to do that, I want to know that God is going to be able to look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in to this kingdom. I want to be going at it forever to see people come to the knowledge of God. Why? Because God is more concerned with who I am becoming than what I am doing. And so therefore, I am going to be a reflection of that, and the things I do will be a reflection of that. For a short season, I had two jobs in the early part of 2000. I was working part-time here and part-time somewhere else. And I had an opportunity to impact the small group of people that I was working with. I was on a computer for 8 hours a day, just typing away and answering, working for insurance companies and taking salvage vehicles, and all kinds of stuff was going on. And in between phone calls, I didn't know it, but I was having small conversations with the people on the right and left of me. And through those small conversations, I had an opportunity to sit down with one of my coworkers, talk to them about Jesus. They asked me if I would do their they had been living together. They asked me if I would do their wedding. It was the first wedding that I ever did with somebody who I was working with in that company. Because all I wanted to do is, even if I was going to be sitting at a computer desk, I wanted to see people come to Jesus. And I had a chance to talk with them. They knew who I was. They knew where I was. They knew where I spent the majority of my time. But they could have just inferred that on their own. But I just decided, no, this is what I want to do. Hurricanes would come through. We need everybody here on Sunday. I'm pretty sure I can say I never worked on a Sunday. Never. And I was there at a time when people were saying God was treating Florida like a bowling alley. Just one hurricane right after the other going down there. I never worked a Sunday. But what I did is, when I was in that place, I was just saying, God, I know this isn't a career. I'm not going to be doing this the rest of my life. I just want to serve you. That's it. I just want to be, this is where I'm going to be next? Okay. While I'm here, I want to serve you. We were talking about it the other day, and Pastor Jeff and I were kind of reminiscing about the call that I received from him and talking with him about becoming the pastor. When he said that to me, I could confidently look at him and say, you know, I didn't see this coming, because I wasn't chomping at the bit to grow beyond what God had called me to do. I just wanted to constantly be in that place of what God was doing. That doesn't mean that I was ambitionless. It just meant that I was completely satisfied in what God had called me to do. When was the last time that you could just look around you and say, I'm serving the Lord and I am completely satisfied? There were some hardships when we first became the leaders here. There were some difficult times. There were some issues, and there were some things that needed to take place. There was some reconstruction, not just physically, but there were some things spiritually that needed to happen. I didn't know that I was cut out to do that. I didn't sit there and go, man, I know exactly what we're going to do. You do that sometimes when you're in a situation and you have a boss. As a person who is an employee, we often, if I ever got my own restaurant, this is exactly what I would do, right? How many times have you probably heard that? Right? If I ever had my own logging company, if I ever had my whatever, you know, whatever thing we're in, somebody is always like, this is what I would do in that situation. Well, I had had those thoughts, you know, if I was ever in this situation, this is what I would do. But we have to be willing to say, in those circumstances, am I able to say, without a doubt, I can find joy in the Lord? And if you can, then welcome to the perfect will of God. God wants us to have joy and to rejoice in Him. This morning, if you're on a journey and you're searching for God, what is that one thing? What is that desire that you have for me? I would ask you to change that question, because that question actually gets answered as you serve. Instead, God, help me to pray for those around me. Help me to find joy in my circumstance, in my situation. Help me to get to a place where I can confidently say that I am in a good relationship with you. When was the last time you felt you were in a good, strong relationship with God? And if you can get to a place to where that is your guiding light, the Lord begins to open doors, because your desires are automatically His. And Scripture says He will give you the desires of your heart. There was a time when I wanted things that were only going to benefit me. But I can confidently say that the Lord, over the last 20 years, has been showing me the more I desire of Him, the more my desires are His desires, and He's really excited about giving me those desires. Did you follow that mathematical equation? There's a lot of D plus D equals D, right? My desires plus His desires equals His desires, right? It's exactly what's going to happen, is that I am going to be serving the Lord in such a way that the desires that I have are actually birthed from Him. And I get excited about it. I never thought I would travel overseas and teach in a Bible school. I can say, Alexa and I never had that conversation. I never said, one day, Alexa, what I want to do is I want to be standing in Africa and teaching at a Bible school. We never had that conversation. I love doing it. I love doing it. I love the connections that we have overseas. I love the mission-mindedness that we have in this church. And I would ask you this morning that if you're saying, God, what is that one thing? What is the one thing that you want to see happen in my life? I would say, change that question and say, God, is my relationship with you in such a relationship that I am actually seeking your heart and your desire on this earth? And as that question becomes more and more clear, doors that you're not even knocking on will begin to open, and you'll be excited about what God is doing. Because you'll see the hand of God in those things. There was a short season where we were even looking, saying, God, where do you want us to go? And we were sending out job applications and taking interviews in places, and it never set well in our heart. Because we knew that what we were doing was actually going away from that relationship. What I was doing was going to be very similar to this. I actually found out that if I accepted an associate pastor position at this one church, within 6 months I would have been the lead pastor, because the lead pastor quit. I found that out after I turned the job down and we were doing other things, and that lead pastor was gone. And the person who had taken the job that I had turned down was left with the church. The idea is that we have to be able to say, God, what is my relationship with you, and how is that leading me? How is that guiding me? God is more concerned with who you are becoming than what you are doing. Because the relationship that we have with Him is what guides us and leads us through our life. You want to know the divine decisions? Divine's decisions are based upon a relationship with the divine. When you have that relationship with God, you will see amazing things happen in your life. You stand with me this morning. There's no perfect formula. And I can hear some of you saying, well, that worked for you. But this is my situation, and I agree with you. I've been to many meetings and heard many messages on how to follow after God. But a lot of times what happens is that people get focused more on what is it that I am doing instead of who is it that I am becoming. And so I wonder, just for a moment together before we dismiss, if you could just begin to take a self-evaluation. Who am I becoming? Am I becoming more like Christ? Am I asking God daily to give me a peace of the thing, give me peace in my heart about where I am and what I am doing? And you may be in a very difficult situation right now, but it is possible to find the joy of the Lord. It is possible to rest in the joy of the Lord. If there's anything that you could take away, who are you becoming? Then you can see what it is that God wants you to do. Father, we come before you this morning. And God, I ask that the challenges and the position that we find ourselves in, I'm even drawn to those who are at the college age and they're heading off to college, or those who are in a dating relationship and they're wanting to know, is this the next step that I'm supposed to take? That Father, as we become closer to you, your will becomes more and more apparent to us. And so, Lord, I would just ask every single person here today that they would become more focused on who they are in Christ than what they are doing on this earth. And as they become focused on who they are in you, you will begin to open doors that they walk through and see the perfect will of God. This morning, if this is something that is speaking to you and you're just saying, yes, that's where I am, I want to pray with you that you would be able to see that relationship with Him grow so that that one thing doesn't become the focus, but the relationship with Jesus is the focus. So if that's you this morning, I'm just going to pray with you. Just begin to lift up your situation just for a moment. Just begin to say, this is the circumstance I find myself in, and I want to be doing the perfect will of God. So Father, this morning, across this room, each person in the place and the relationship that they're in, God, I pray that you would speak mightily to them, that you would be able to see this relationship with us growing closer to you, that we would have a desire to be fulfilling not so much the call as the call that you have, that we would come to a working knowledge of you. Every person here is experiencing something different, but you are the one true same God. We thank you for that and praise you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.